Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We're now in the final podcast of the third chapter of Masechet Bava Kama, Mishnah Yud Aleph, which is found on Daf Lamed Hamad Aleph at the bottom. Shor Shaya Odef Achar Shor Acher V'Huzak. Ze Omer Shorcha Yizik V'Ze Omer Loki Ela B'Sela Laka. Motzei Chaver Ol Avaraya. The entire Mishnah will be devoted to applications of the rule of Hamotzei Chaver Ol Avaraya, that the claimant has to prove his case before he can get any monies from the accused. In this case, an ox was running after another ox. Later, the chased ox was found hurt. The nizak claims that the ox hurt him. The owner of the ox that was chasing him says, no, he slipped on a rock and fell. So, Mitzvah Chalavaraya, and therefore he gets no payment. Let's say two oxen are running after one, each owned by a different person. It's clear that the ox was hurt by another ox, but each ox's owner claims it was the other ox who hurt him. Shneim Pturim. There's no way to determine who it is. Each one can say, go prove it was me. I think it was the other guy. And therefore, they're patur. Imayu Shneim Shalish Achad. But if both oxen were owned by one person, so then Shneim Chayavim. And that phrase is a little strange. It should be Hu Chayav. But it said Shneim Chayavim. We'll see what that's talking about. But either way, he will have to pay. Hayah Echad Gadol Vechad Katan. Let's say that the two oxen owned by one guy, and clearly these are tamim, were chasing one ox, and Hanizak Omer Gadol Hizik. The Nizak says the bigger one hurt, because of course the bigger one is going to give him a bigger slice of pie to collect from, because Tamishtalim Megufa. But Mazik Omer Loki Ela Katan Hizik. He says no, it was the smaller one, the one worth less that did the Nezek. Or Echad Tam Echad Muad. Let's say that one of the Shvarim was Tam, one was Muad. Hanizak Omer Muad Hizik, because then he's going to get full payment. Mazik Omer Loki Ela Tam Hizik, and it was the Tam. Therefore, the assumption is that the smaller amount will be paid. Either he'll be paid from the smaller animal, or it'll be paid as a tam. Hayuan is nizakim shnayim. Let's say now that there were two animals that were owned by the fellow who got hurt, and two animals owned by the other fellow who did the hurting. Echad gadol v'chad katan. And it's clear that it wasn't the case that one animal attacked both. One animal attacked one, the other attacked the other. The Nizak says, and these are all clearly tamim, the bigger one attacked the bigger one, because of course his loss in the bigger one is greater, so he wants to have a bigger piece of pie to collect from. Said it switched. The little one beat up the big one, which means the big one, which is the great loss, you can only collect from the little one, and vice versa. Or let's say that one of the attackers was a tam, one was muad. Anizak omer muad izika tagadol, because then he can collect full damages for the greater loss, for tamatakatan. Mazak omer loki, ela tamatagadol muad atakatan. He said it was the opposite, the tam attacked the big one, the muad attacked the smaller one. Hamotze mechavar lavaraya. And by the way, parenthetically, although Gemara doesn't point this out, in those last two cases, the Mazik's claim is counterintuitive, or shall we say, against conventional understanding, that normally a smaller ox is not going to beat up a bigger one, and a tom is not going to beat up a bigger one. But that's, of course, not necessarily the case. But nonetheless, without proof, he has the Nizak cannot claim the larger payment. Okay. This proves to us that Sumchus' position, that we'll see explicated in the next parak, which is that whenever there's money where there's doubt as to where it goes, we split it between the claimants, a sugya that's developed also at the beginning of Bava Metzia, that proves that the colleagues disagree with Sumchus, and our Mishnah represents the opinion of the colleagues, because in none of these cases do we say split the difference between the claim of the Mazik and the claim of the Nizak, but rather it all stays with the Mazik unless the Nizak can prove differently. Now, Amar Rav Abba bar Memel or Rav Chiya bar Abba. So he asked them the following question. Amar Sumchus Avilu bar Yubari. Did Sumchus's claim that Mamon HaMuta B'Sofik Cholkim apply even when both positions are certain positions? I say certainly it was a Muad. You say it was certainly a Tam. We split it? Or did he only say it when it was Shema V'Shema, when we don't really know, since there's no knowledge here, and each side is claiming we're not really sure, that that's why we split it? Amar Le'in. Amar Sumchus Afilu Bar Yubari. Sumchus applied it even to Bar Yubari. Now, when we write about Nitin Bari Barihu, so then he asks, since when is that, who says that our Mishnah is a case where each side is claiming Bari Bari, that you're saying, okay, so both sides are claiming Bari Bari, and nonetheless, we don't split the money, and Sumchus applied his position even to Bari Bari, which means that our Mishnah is in opposition to Sumchus. How do we know that? Tani Zomer Shochai Zig Vizomer Loki. And by the way, in every one of the phrases, the counterclaim is always Loki. Which means, no, it's not that way, rather it's this way, indicating a claim of Bari. Now, Matkar Rav Papa, Midiresha Bari Bari, Seifanami Bari Bari. Rav Papa develops an argument which is compound. He starts as follows. He says, you're arguing that the opening line of the Mishnah is Bari Bari. I claim that your ox attacked, and you say, no, you're sure it was a rock. So that means the rest of the Mishnah must also be Bari Bari. So now, Ema Seifa, look further down the Mishnah. Haya Achad Gadol V'Achad Katan. One guy owns two oxen, one big, one small. Nizak Omer Gadol Hizik, Mazik Omer Lo Ki Ela Katan Hizik. The Nizak says it was the big ox that attacked, and the Mazik says it was the small one. Echatam V'Achad Muad, Nizak Omer Muad Hizik, Mazik Omer Lo Ki Ela Tam Hizik. Or, one of them was Tam and one was Muad, and the Nizak, of course, says it was the Muad that attacked, and he can get full payment. And then Mazik says it was the Tam. Hamotza Bechavar Lavaraya. Now, what does that mean? If you're saying it's Bari Bari, this means I am sure that it was a short Tam that attacked you. And you say, no, I'm sure it was a short Muad that attacked you. So, Hamotza Bechavar Lavaraya, which means, Halomaitirai, if he can't bring a proof, Shakul Kedamar Mazik, he's going to get half payment, like the Mazik said. So, Neymatayavi Tuyuvta the Rabbi Barnatan. Rabbi Barnatan has the following approach, which is really a development of a Sugyan Masachet Shavuot. So, one little bit of a preface. If a person makes a claim, you owe me X amount of money, and the other fellow comes with a counterclaim, and not a counterclaim, but a response, says, I only owe you part of that. You owe me $100,000. No, I only owe you $50,000. That's Modeba Miktsat, and you have to take a Shavuot on the other $50,000. You pay the $50 that you agree you owe, and then take a shvua for the rest. That's the sugi mode of a miktsat. Now, what happens if the claim is not of money but of goods, and the response is, yes, I owe you, but I owe you different kind of goods? So the Mishnah states that you're exempt from the shvua. Rav Amarnatan takes it further. Tamar tanochi tim v'odalo b'sorim. If I claim you owe me $100,000 worth of wheat, and you say, no, I only owe you $50,000 or $100, whatever it is, of barley, Patur, you're exempt legamre, because your claim, your admission that you owe me barley, I have now waived by saying, no, you don't owe me barley, you owe me wheat. So if that's the case, here, where Tam and Muad are not just different in amount, they're different in species. And therefore, when I say, I'm sure that it was a shore Muad, and you say, no, it was a shore Tam, and the ruling of the Mishnah is that I'll still get short time. How can it be Bari Bari? Because if that's the case, it's against Rabbi Barnatan that we all accept as halacha, that if you make a claim about one thing and I admit to a partial debt which is different than that, I don't owe you anything. So here he should owe him nothing, not just the half. El Abba Bari Veshema. It must be that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Bari Veshema, where one person's claim is certain and the other one says, I don't know. Now, Dekamar Bari Man, Dekamar Shema Man. Who's saying the Bari, who's saying the Shema? So, Inem at Dekamar Nizak Bari. In that last case, do we say the Nizak is saying, I'm sure it was a Muad, Kama Mazik Shema. And the Mazik says, it might have been a Tam, I don't know. Kati Lema Tayavati Uftar Rabbanatan. It's still a challenge against Rabbanatan. Because the Nizak is saying, you owe me for Muad. And the other fellow says, I might not, but he's certain, but certainly the Nizak is being Mochel, whatever claim he might have on the half nezek, so he shouldn't have to pay the half nezek. The kamar nizak shema, the kamar mazik bar. It must be that the nizak says it might have been a tam, might have been a muad, and the mazik says it was for sure a tam. That's why he has to pay half. Okay, good. Umida seifa nizak shema mazik bari. If that's the case in the seifa that it's a shema versus bari, so reisha nami nizak shema mazik bari. We think it's the same thing, where the nizak says I don't know if it was a rock in the first case, or your ox, and the Mazik says, I know it was a rock. V'yamar sumchus afilu baha, and you're telling me that sumchus, even here, says, you split it, de'itztarech lashminin delo, that we have to come and say we disagree with sumchus? Obviously we disagree with sumchus here, and obviously there's no reason to split. So the Mishnah doesn't need to state that. So lo, seifa nizak shemo mazik bari. We're going to reorient it a little bit. We're going to say the last case towards the end of the Mishnah is where the nizak says, might have been muad, might have been tam, and the mazik is sure it was a tam. Reisha, in the first case about the rock, nizak bari. The nizak says, I know it was your ox, and mazik says, might have been a rock, might have been my ox. All right, which is why we need to teach that even in a case like that, Sumchus would say you split, and we say you don't. Ah, v'halo dami reisha l'seifa. But if so, then the Mishnah has shifted from who's the bari and who's the shema. So Amri, the answer is bari v'shema v'shema bari chad miltahi. As long as one of the claimants is unsure and one of them is sure, it's all one package. So therefore, it's not an inconsistency in the Mishnah if we switch from who's the bari and who's the shema. But bari obari v'shema obari, but to switch from bari obari to shema obari, because we have to say the end of the Mishnah is shema obari, otherwise you run into the Rabba Bar Natan problem. Trei milinino, that's two separate things, and the Mishnah can't accept that. Therefore, we have to agree that throughout the Mishnah, one of the claimants is shema, the other is bari. Who is who? It doesn't matter to us. Now, gufa, let's go look back at Rabba Bar Natan. Am Rabba Natan tanochi tim v'odalo b'sorin patur. Maika Mashvon, what's that teaching? Tanino, we have a Mishnah. Tanochi tin vodala bisorin patur. He says exact same words. Aha, ime hatam. If we only had the Mishnah, avemena patur midme chitin. I might think that means you're exempt from the extra payment and from a shvu, of course. Vacheav midme sorin, but I would think perhaps at least what you admitted to you have to pay, which is 50,000 or whatever it is, worth of sorin. Kamash balan de patur legamre. So Rabbi Natan's telling you, you're patur legamre. You don't owe anything. Because the Sorim that you're admitting to, he's forgiven. And his claim of Chitim, you don't admit to, and there's no evidence. Now, Tanan, look at our Mishnah. Hayu ha-nizaki mishnayim. If there were two oxen that were hurt, owned by one guy. Chad gadol v'chad katan, etc. And then the Nizak says, the gadol hit the gadol, and the katan, we said, halo mighty raya, if he doesn't bring a raya. Shaku kadam mazik, what do you do? You take like the mazik said, which means, the katan pays for the gadol as much as you can get, and the gadol pays for the katan. So amai chitim usorim ninu, but why should you get anything? Isn't that chitim usorim? Because after all, the admission of the mazik, the nizak is forgoing. So the answer is ra'ui li tol va'inlo. The answer is theoretically he should get it, but in reality he doesn't have any root of collection. But we have a brighter that says you do pay, and here's how you pay. You sell the katan to pay for the gadol, etc. The answer is the tofas. We're talking about a case where the nizak was toface. Once he was toface, then we'll already pay him, and the way that we pay him is exactly that root that we just described. Now, let's keep testing it. Tanan, hayachad tam v'chad muad. This is in the same clause in the Mishnah. First we said if one was gadol and was katan. Now, achad tam v'chad muad. Anizak omer muad hizik et agadol v'tam et katan. Anizak omer loki. Al tam et agadol muad et katan. Motzik chav lo v'raya. Halo maiti raya. So if he can't bring a proof, shakal ked amar mazik. He takes as per the mazik, which means he takes, he collects for the damage to the small one, from the gadol, from the muad, and for the big one from the tam, but at least he gets something. Ma'achitinu sarininu, why isn't this a violation of Rabba Bar Natan's rule? The answer is again, ra'uili tol ve'enlo. Ay, v'atam nizim shtalim v'katam na muad v'gadol v'natam. We have a brighter that says that's how you pay it out. And again, the same answer to Tafas. We're talking about a case where the nizak was tofes. Alright, the end of the sugya goes as follows. Hayushnehem shel ish achad. This is earlier on in the Mishnah, because we've already dealt with the later parts of the Mishnah. But if they both belong to one person, shnehem chayavim. Alright, and we noted, and when I went over the Mishnah, I pointed out that that's a strange phrase. Amar leRavim Zika leRavashi. So the student said to Ravashi, Shma min ashvarim tamim shiziku. If you have a case where there are multiple short tam, shvarim tamim, that did damage. Ratzami zegove, ratzami zegove. You can collect from either one. So, Ravashi answered, Rahacham askin muadim. No, this is talking about muadim. That's why it says chayavim. So, even, you know, you can't infer from here that you can collect from either one that you want. So, even muadim, ema seifa, ya achad gadov, achad katan, and izak omer gadol izik, vamazik omer loki, ala katan izik, amutzach vala varaya. In the later on in the Mishnah, as I pointed out when we studied it, it has to be talking about Shvarim Tamim, because otherwise, what do I care if the attacking shore was Muad or was big or small? After all, if it's a shore Muad, he's going to have to pay me the full damages anyways. So Rav Ashi answers, Amalei Sefer B'Tamin V'Reshav Mu'adin. He says, all right, it's good. So the opening line about Shneim Shalish Echad is talking about Mu'adin. Thus, you can't prove your point. The Sefer is talking about Tamim. So, but Amalei Racha Asavu Rav Ashi. Ibn Mu'adin Chayavim Chayav Gavim Ba'Elei. So here's where he gets to the language. So Rav Acha turns to Rav Ashi and says, how can you say that the opening line about Shneim Chayavim, or near the opening, is talking about Shvarim Mu'adin? It shouldn't say Chayavim, it should say Chayav, because it's the owner owes. But to my Shneihem, why does it say Shneihem Chayavim? Shneihem, the animals aren't Chayav. Ela Leolam B'Tamin. It must be that it's a short time. And they're both Shvarim Tamim. And that's why Shneihem Chayavim, they're both up for collection. V'Rabbi Akiva, and it all follows Rabbi Akiva, Damar Shut Fininu. Remember, he says, Huchlat Ashor. That the, once the shore does Nezek, it already becomes co-owned by the Nizak and the Mazik. And since they're partners, therefore the idea is it's collected from the shore itself. And Vitama di Tanu Litavayu, the only reason he's able to collect from either one is because they're both here. To Lamatsi Madchile, the owner can't say, no, go to the other one, because they're both in front of us. Aval Leitanu Litavayu, but let's say one of them, let's say they both ran after it. And one attacked, we don't know which one. And the one that, one of them kept running and the other one came back. So Leitan the Tavayuf, they're not both around. Matzi Amarle Zil Aiti Raya the High Torah Azkach V'Shalim Lach. Then the owner could say, "Go prove to me that the one that's still around is the one that did damage to you. Then I'll pay you." Which means you can't collect at all. So Shneihem Chayavin is talking about only a case where they're both around. It only follows Rabbi Akiva, where the collection is really from the animal itself, and that's why it's a Shneihem Chayavin, because they're both Tamim, teaching that if they're both around, you can collect from either one, and you don't have to prove which one did the damage in order to collect. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we've successfully completed our study of Perak HaMinyach, and we'll begin in the next podcast with our study of Shor Shenagach Arba'av HaMishah Pe'amim. Everybody should have a wonderful day.